diyen bana ben şeydir. We are greatly fortunate that we have got man body. Man body is the highest in all creation, next to God. Even the angels bowed down to the man body when it was made. All scriptures tell us the reactions are very good actions of the past man gets man body. So really we are very fortunate. Our good actions have fructified. We have got the man body as a result thereof. It is a golden opportunity in which we can pay off all reactions of the past and also free, we are free within certain limits. Leaving man body aside, all other bodies are bound. They've got no free action there. So in man body we are bound to certain extents as a reaction of the past and free also within certain limits. So if we are wise enough, we pay off the old reactions, the old karmas and go back home. So it is a time either we can go home or go back again in the wheel of life and death. Be very cautious. This is a very golden opportunity we have got. Try to understand how to pay up all our area of debts which we have to pay up. So you will find we have to be very cautious. Each thought which strikes us, that is a reaction. Each thought, each word, and each deed has to be accounted and compensated for in nature. Nature says no man. As you sow, so shall you reap. No exception to the rule. Never think idly of anything. If you think idly of anything, even that has the answer. Fifth Guru says, be afraid of the sins we have done without any unknowing. That will also be every answer. So every cause has an effect. We have to understand this principle, this law. If we understand this principle, law, karma, then we can come out of it and go back home. Otherwise, we will be bound coming and going and coming. So each cause has an effect, and every action brings about a reaction. Uproot the cause and the effect disappears. This has been done by the masters who have transcended these laws. But all others are bound by the bonds of karmas, which is the root cause of physical existence. Of course, these are very good actions, the action of which you have got the man body. In this we are also to be very careful what to do. Either we are trying to go back down or up back home. So there are three kinds of karmas. One are those karmas which are called as sanchit. Sanchit means which are stored as yet, not fructified. So such like karmas you see from hundreds of years back, they are installed, not yet touched for reaction. In the time of the Pandavas, there was one Dhritarashtra. she was a great yogi, but blind from birth. And people asked him, Lord Krishna asked him, you are blind very birth, what some actions you have incurred, some karma you have incurred, the result of it you are blind from the very birth. And he told him that by yogic power, I know up to 100 years back, I have done no such action. The result of which could be blind. So Lord Krishna, who is of yogician, you see, he just gave him help to go back still further. And he found that in 106th birth back, he did some action, the result of which now he is blind. So mind that there are Akashic records, you see. Whatever we speak, whatever we think, that is recorded in the Akash. Those who can read those Akashas, they can give you, I mean, statements made 100 years back. Ever since we have left the house of our father, ever since we have been sent to the earth, we have been coming and going, action reaction been going on. Some have been paid up by prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma are the karma which are in fruit, which are fructified, on the base of which our present existence is based. First we have got man body, that is the highest result of very high karma, good karma. Now also we are bound certain limits unless those reactions are paid up. If no further actions are shown, seeds are shown. So we are within certain limits free also. So prarabdha are the karma, the karma which our present life is based. It is what is called fate or destiny. Fate or destiny is the reaction of our karmas which are in fruit now. So the third class is kriyaman, our action that we did do this. So as I submitted, man is free to certain limits and bound with a certain. Just think, take the example of a boy who is flying the kite in the air. He's got, what is it, 200 or 300 yards thread with the flying the kite in the air. But his father is at the back, which is keeping 200 yards thread in his control. He is allowed only 100 yards thread long to enable his son to fly the kite. So he can fly the kite only up to 100 yards, not more. Only those actions which are reacting now. So prarabdha portion is not touched because it is based on the present existence. It is the result of present. Present life is the result of a reaction of the past in present life. So these karmas are of different natures. Some karmas bear fruit very quickly. Others little later, others very long. Take the example of the courts. They are small cause courts, they are high courts, and they are Privy Council courts. Is it not? Ordinary day, like ordinary cases, are settled in a week or a month or so. Cases indicate take months to decide in high courts. And they are still of very intricate nature, they take years to decide in Privy Council. You follow my point? So these call action, reaction, daily. They are very good fruit, some quickly, some later, some still. As in the case of Dhritarashtra, I quoted you. He had such thy karmas of 100 births back. So what we reap in this life, the remaining is transferred to the sanchit karma. Karma is the cause of rebirth, and each birth is in turn followed by death. there the cycle of enjoyment and suffering results. Some are happy, some are not happy. So as you think, so you become. Ignorance of law is no issue, mind that. You say, we don't know what was your son, you must leave. Whether you show good deeds, good actions, or bad actions, both are binding. Irons, handcuffs or chains made of iron or gold, that are equally binding on you. This is karma life, rather difficult to understand, but if you follow it, we can save our lives. I come down to the earth. So, fortunately, how to bear this, to come about the law of this wheel of life? You daily sow seeds, they will bear forth fruit. Some are being fructified, some are being laid in the Sanchit Karman store, the others daily, some are shooting still some. Our Sanchit store of our karmas is great. So in this light, if man meets some master who knows this law of nature, how to wield it and how to liberate us from that law, he takes the process of winding up all karmas of the initiate. He takes it. It's very difficult, you see, very onerous job of being a master. First of all, what it does, it gives you contact with the sound current within, by practicing which Sanchit karmas are burnt away. Great blessing. All Sanchit karmas in store are burnt down. They would not fructify in future life. Then for Kelaman karmas, the karmas that we do daily, he prescribes diary to be maintained. You see, now mark the purpose for the diary maintenance. It has a very important work to do. He is enjoined to lead a clean life and weed out all imperfections in him by self-introspection from day to day. This you are instructed to do. So Prarabh, the karma is not touched. Those karmas, as a result of which we have got the present life. If they touch this, then the life will end. The more very moment it touches the Prarabh karma, the life will end. So it does not touch, because it is the cause of the physical body, which will vanish due to interference in the nature law. So a very small remains to be tolerated by the man or the initiate during the present life. You have Sanchit karmas in store and burnt away by coming conditions. The more you come with the sound principle within you, nam or world, the two aspects of which is nam, light and sound, your Sanchit in store karma will be burnt away. Prarabdha karma are not touched. Kelaman karma are, just as I told you, for that you may should be very strict. Don't spare yourself, as you should criticize yourself as you would like to criticize others. And weed out day to day. Some of the remaining karmas are the Kelaman karmas, you see. They are also polished down. You see, sharpened down by the master, by devotion. Now you see, when you sit by a master, you keep silent for a few minutes. Mind does not rake any stuff. You have no thoughts. This is that of the radiation of the master. And the qualification of the master is given in whose sitting, in whose presence, your mind does not rake up anything for a while. And if you give it to your child, as I told you yesterday, that if you go to a man who sells sense, In male arguments, by religion you get perfume. Similarly, in his presence you should sit fully, what you say, receptive. For the time your mind won't wake up, recommended, then by radiation. And if you contact with him, you see, that file of person is given to you. So star of karma, you see, are not touched. So for a person, because they are, on that you have no control, that have to react. What has to come past must come to pass, no exception to rule. So it is, however, possible one way out. What? One may so mold and develop his inner self through the guidance of the master soul that they may not feel the bitter sting of the sin. Just to take of example of a kernel, I mean, what is, say, almond or walnut, when it is not ripe, you can put a needle through across. But when it is ripe, the shell is separated from the kernel, and you put in the needle won't pass through the kernel, to the shell, is it not? If masters, you sit by the master, he wants to give you a way up to rise above body consciousness, then it is, all outer things do come up as a result of the prarabdha karma, but they have not the pinching of it. You find that the blessing of the mind. A child is to be, say, operated on. The mother takes the child in her lap and gets the operation done, and the child is satisfied. You see, I'm in the lap of the mother, you see. Those initiated, those who are devoted to the master within, they do get bitter results of the past, reactions of the past, but they are not felt. If they rise about body consciousness, they will know of it. There's a case of one Abdullah devotee of Miami in India, as a result of the prarabdha karma, he was suffering very much, he rose above back the eyes. And the master came, oh, what are you doing? You are told the, you must make the result of that. Why are you sitting up there? But this is the grace of the master, if you fall in. For the kedaman karma, we have to weed out all the imperfections by dying. By past, those karmas which are installed, those are burnt away, the more you come in contact with light, it sounds with you. So recent karmas which are due daily, they are weeded out by self-intransition, whatever remains, that also are smoothed down by the love of the master. Pinching of us does not remain the same. So that is it, you see, like walnut or almond, which is not ripe, you can put needle through. But when it is ripe, shell is separated, you may put in needle, it won't pass. Similar, it happens something like when you are concentrated at the back of the eye. You find a stay there. You at will work at the level of the outgoing faculty. Then all these come, men will die, men will suffer, may be operated on, isn't that? How great blessing you got in you. So for that reason, you see, what is required now? Is there another karma, I mean kind of karma. One is kereman, the other is prarabdha, third is what is called in store, sanchit. There is another form of karma, this is called nishkarma. Karma performed without any attachment or desire for the fruit thereof. This is superior to all the forms of karma which are more or less are the source of bondage. Yet this type helps a little to liberate one from karmic reactions, bondage. So if you do some job without any fruit, that won't bind you. This is one thing. But so long as the ego is there, how can you not? You won't feel that you are not doing. You find my brother. So long as you are doer, whether your good actions are bad, even at your heart of heart you know, I've done good action. That will be a fruitful. So, ne karma, or the selfless karma, comes up only when you become conscious co-worker. In the yoga too, you find, in the atta yoga, in the karma yoga, they say you become ne karma. Don't want any fruit. But how can you become ne karma unless you become the conscious co-worker of the divine self, that he is the doer, I am not the doer. So long as you are the doer, you may have, you will bear the good fruits also, heaven, another thing, and this life too. So you will find it is all the karma, born of desire, or karma that leads to one, leads to bondage. This is why you see what Moses taught. Desire not. What Buddha taught, be desireless. What tenth guru of the sixth taught, kamna behin. Don't have any desire for the result. That is by doing, the highest of all is to be ne karma. That is doing karma in accordance with the divine plan, as a conscious co-worker of the power of God. Now you find four kinds of karma. Present karma is done by driving, and whatever left you are devoted to the master, that is also smoothed down. Present karma is not touched, you have to bear the bitter fruits of that. But if you, while sitting at the feet of the master, you are falling, rising above body conscious daily, to die daily, then outer pinching effect, bitter effect of your reaction to God won't affect you. As I gave you an example. Now you find how important it is to do your practice daily. In brief, the law of karma is nature's top of an inexorable law from which there is no escape. And there is no exception. Even the avatars bear the fruit of it. What to speak of men? It is said of Lord Rama killed the brother of the king of the Siloam by standing behind a tree. It is said in our scriptures even. When he died, he said, well, Rama, I did not know nothing against you. Why you killed me? You will have to suffer. So it so happened that the next incarnation of the Lord Krishna came up, and that man took the form of a bhir in the jungle, you see. And Lord Krishna was lying in the wilderness with his left feet over his right knee. And there was some star in there, you see, which is always in the feet of the incarnation. The hunter saw that there was the eye of a deer, so he shot the arrow, and that stuck in the feet of the Lord Krishna, and he died of that. Even avatars are not expected to rule. What to speak of ordinary men? Be careful. Every thought what thinks you, that reacts. So as you sow, so shall that the general rule for those on earth, who are on earth. As you think, so you become. It is from the abundance of the mind that the tongue speaks. Every action has a reaction, for that is nature's law, cause and effect. One has therefore to bear the fruit of his actions. No exception. Is there any remedy for this? So masters have got a remedy. As I just submitted to you, I quoted the case of Abdullah, the devotee of Miami. So So you write about all this in daily life, you see, when you want to have an injection, you will draw your attention here. That's all I know. Inject, you feel pain very less. If you can withdraw your attention fully, that may be cutting. So this is very regular way which the Master puts us on the way. See, it is only when one transcends the body consciousness and becomes nekarma, or actionless inaction, like the still point at the center of the ever-evolving wheel of life, that the stop is put to the motion of the great wheel of karma. The machine going on, you think, they want something to stop me, that is a clock, and machine does not work. So law of karma does not work in case of those who rise above body consciousness, actually. That is why, you see, Buddha said we desire this, for desires are the root cause of human suffering, all suffering. Some die, some born, some sick, some poor, some like that. Length of life is also based on that. Some high, some low, some power in poverty, some very rich, affluent circumstances. These are based on the reaction, the past. So what happens, you see, the spirit sitting in the chariot of body is driven blindly and headlong into the fields of sensual pleasures, sensual pleasures by the five powerful steeds of the organ faculties, which are driven by the intoxicated mind. So mind also has to be controlled. If something is given to the mind, more peaceful, more peaceful, only that, not otherwise. So because the reins of the intellect are dangling, loose, when the steeds are running fast, headlong, this is how we incur actions, and that results in reaction, wrong like anything. Ever since we have come down from the Father, we have been on earth. We have been coming and going. Man body we've been having as a very great fortune. We did not utilize the man body, did not understood the law of karma. There are two karma laws. One law of karma, the other the law of grace. So you come to the feet of the Master, there the law of grace works, I tell you. Your present karma, this is also softened up, and they give a tally for that. Sentient karmas are burnt away by giving a contact with some life principle within you. And Prarabdha karma, no power can withstand them, but the Master, what he gives you to rise above body consciousness daily, the pinching of existence. How fortunate we are. It is why it is said it is a great blessing to have a living Master. Don't you realize that? Even the incarnations have to undergo the law. They are not exempt from the law of cause and effect. What to speak of everything. So, by being, now these are the things you see prescribed by the Master. Ever since they have been coming, they have been telling us what to do. Be born anew. And voila, what is the basis? Teaching behind it is be born, reborn. I've been explaining to you in my one or two talks. What is meant by reborn? One to born into this man's body, another into the beyond. If you're daily reborn, die daily, take cross daily, then all these should naturally fall. You escape the effects of the wheel of life, of karma. Now you'll find how important it is to do the practice as described by the Master. Masters don't spare any. He said, look here, look your man. Oh Master, what is the use of our coming to your feet if the law of karma is not satisfied, they are giving job for what is use of going to the feet of a lion and they are all foul on you. It is a great privilege, I would say.
Good evening and welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of Master's talk called The Law of Karma, which was given on October 29, 1972, in Chicago, Illinois. Our reader this evening is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Christine.
Please go ahead, Rick.
Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I am going to be reading tonight from the book God-Man, picking up from where I left off reading last time, near the end of chapter 7. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:7. It is therefore all the more necessary that a seeker after truth must first find an adept in truth, fully conversant with the spiritual path leading to reality, and obtain his lessons from him, and practice them under his direct supervision, guidance, and control. Without these prerequisites, there cannot be a ghost of a chance for success. In Katha Upanishad, we come across a dictum: awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. The knowledge of God can be had from a man of God. At every step, an aspirant feels the need of the Master's strong and long arm, which alone can reach him, save him, and keep him on the path and lead him correctly. Maulana Rumi says, first, find a peer, an adept in the line, for without a peer, the way is beset with dangers, difficulties, and tribulations. Whoever attempts to walk on this path by himself is sure to be led astray by Satan and thrown down the precipice. Without the overpowering influence of a God-man, you are bound to become bewildered by the howling cries of ghouls. Many a wise and intelligent person attempted this path alone, but by the wiles of the negative powers came to a sad end. Many a time the ghouls imitate the sounds of the Master, and these may drag thee to perdition. It is through the loving grace of the Master that a spirit can get out of the prison house of the body. From here, the luminous form of the Master takes charge of the spirit and protects her at every step with his loving grace. The intricate and bewildering twists and turns of the path are easily passed through with the help of the Satguru. The subtle and causal planes are a vast wilderness for the soul, and it is unsafe for her to traverse them by herself. Maulana Rumi tells us in this context, take a fellow traveler with thee and travel not alone on this path. Do not venture in this wilderness by thyself alone. Hafiz Sahib also gives the same advice. Do not attempt these stages alone. In the bewildering darkness, you are sure to lose your way. Chapter 8. Without a guru, all is darkness. Without a guru, we are in utter darkness. the reality remains a mere miasma and a mirage. It is an unwritten law and unspoken language, quite unintelligible, except when a master soul, by his personal attention, makes it significant. The glamour of the world is so great and overbearing that passing phantoms appear stable and substantial. The untrue puts on the mantle of truth, and we cannot possibly tear aside the magic veil and escape from the false charm in which we are enveloped. It is the Master's grace that can pull a spirit out of the physical sheath, right above the plane of senses, enabling her to move unfettered to higher spiritual visions and attain her native Godhead. Without a master, it is sheer darkness, and one sinks into bottomless depths. An embodied spirit cannot have bliss unless it obtains experience of itself through the grace of a living master. He initiates her into esoteric knowledge, which has to be practiced in the laboratory of the human mind. Without a master, there is blinding darkness, and one simply cannot know. Without a master, spirit does not become spirit, and there can be no salvation for her. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you must have a master. O mind, ye must turn to some master soul, accept as master an adept in the sound principle, and he shall wash thee clean of all impurities. The master, both by his attention and his instruction, imparts the knowledge of truth. He who has never seen a master soul nor accepted one simply wastes his life in this world. A jiva is always in stark darkness. If he closes his eyes, there is darkness within. Again, he is enveloped in total ignorance. He who can dispel this darkness of the jivas is called a guru. The term guru consists of two words, gu meaning darkness and ru meaning light. Hence, guru means one who can lead us from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, and from death to immortality. The illustrious poet Kalidas speaks of the guru. He converts darkness into light and makes the invisible God visible. As a jiva is clothed in ignorance, all his actions, too, are born of ignorance and thus keep him in bondage. The saints declare that without a master soul to guide us, all charitable deeds and meritorious acts, like study of the scriptures, keeping of fasts and vigils, performance of pilgrimages, observance of social customs and rituals, and scrupulous adherence to strict religious injunctions as of old, do not help in the liberation of a soul. Kabir Sahib, therefore, in very strong terms, warns us against such acts. The telling of beads and acts of charity without a master soul to guide go in vain. None of these bears any fruit. Bula Shah tells us, O Bula, without a master, all thy devotion would be barren. Unless the inner eye is opened and contact is established with the power within, nothing can be of any avail. We have of necessity to seek a master who is competent to wean us from all outer pursuits, pull the spirit out of the plane of the senses, and lead her step by step from one plane to another until she is led back to her prenatal home, Satchkan or Bukam Ihak. He dispels all doubts born of darkness and gives us heaven's light as a guide, unfailing and unfaltering. With the Guru, the darkness is dispelled. Guru is there wherever one may turn. With no vision in our eyes, the light of hundreds of moons and thousands of suns can do us no good. Such a radiant effulgence would surely fail to end the darkness of the eyes. In exactly the same way, when there is no vision in the inner eye, we cannot see the wonderful brilliance of the soul, and we remain steeped in pitch darkness. Hundreds of moons and thousands of suns together may rise. Even with such radiance, there is not a speck of light. Chapter 9, Historical Evidence. We have the testimony of history to show that one cannot have access to spiritual regions by one's own self. In the Shastras, it is mentioned that Narad was refused admittance into Vishnupuri, the land of Vishnu, when he by himself attempted to enter into that kingdom, because he had not been initiated by any guru. Again, Sukhdev Swami, the son of Ved Vyas, with all his spiritual knowledge and learning, right from his conception in his mother's womb, could not enter the kingdom of Vishnu until he accepted Raj Rishi Janak as his spiritual mentor. Nowhere do we come across any instance in which an uninitiated jiva by himself may have been allowed to enjoy this privilege. All born saints, though very few, come into the world with esoteric knowledge right from their birth, but have, for form's sake, to adopt a master. Kabir Sahib, for instance, had to accept Sri Ramananda as his master. In spite of their completed spiritual background, they had to associate with saints, as one would do in a refresher course. Guru Amar Das tells us that it is God's law that one cannot even think of him without being reminded of him by some master of truth. It is ordained by God himself that one thinks of him only when he meets a master of truth, God-man. Again, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:44. The generality of mankind simply cannot do without a master soul. Even Lord Rama and Lord Krishna, the very incarnations of Vishnu, had to bow down before Maharishi Vaishishth and Ingris Rishi, respectively. When such high-souled personages with sway extending as far as the causal region had to accept a spiritual guide, we ordinary human beings cannot dispense with this absolutely basic necessity. Guru Nanak emphatically declares that the importance of Guru can be known from Brahma, Narad, and Ved Vyas. O brother, without a guru, you cannot have absolute truth, as opposed to relative knowledge through perception by the senses. You may verify this by reference to Brahma, Narad, and Vishnu. Tulsi Sahib says, who is greater than Rama and Krishna? They too had to accept a master. Lord of the three regions, physical, astral, and causal, they too had to bow before a master. Everyone who has made any mark in spirituality has had the backing of some master soul. Raj Rishi Janak got a practical demonstration in spirituality from Maharishi Ashtavakra. Gorakh Nath received his initiation from Machinder Nath. Arjuna, the warrior prince of the Pandavas, learned his lessons in spirituality from Lord Krishna. Swami Vivekananda sat at the feet of Paramhas Ramakrishna, the saint of Dakshineshwar. Among the Sikhs, Guru Nanak molded Lena and made Angad out of him, his ang or limb, and the latter, in turn, raised Amar Das to the status of a guru, and so on. Maulana Rumi tells us that he got his spiritual impetus from Shamas-e-Tabriz. A Molvi schoolteacher could not become Maulana, leader in theology, if it were not for the grace of Shamas-e-Tabriz. Again, O Saki, master, come and look with favor upon the Maluna. From housetops, he cries, he is the slave of Shamas-e-Tabriz. Minya Mahatma has, in his discourses, paid homage to his divine preceptor. And though some have not made any such mention, there could be no denying the fact that light comes from light, and life from life, and that mind and matter-ridden jivas cannot awake and arise in cosmic awareness unless pulled up by some master soul. Chapter 10. Before and after Guru Nanak. There is always food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. A babe that was born 500 years ago was provided by Dame Nature with milk from the mother's breast, and so was the case with one who came into the world 1,000 years back. Those who are born in the present age are also being provided with similar means of sustenance. The law of supply and demand is an immutable one in nature. In exactly the same way, this law works inexorably in spiritual matters also. For the aspirants before the time of Guru Nanak, or in this age or hereafter, nature cannot but provide the means of satisfying their aspirations. To delimit a particular period of one or two centuries as the period of gurus, and to say that there were no master souls before or after that particular time, is against the fundamental law of supply and demand, and hence incorrect. The teachings of the masters are for all times and not for any particular period. They utter eternal truths which hold good for eternity and are the common heritage of mankind in general. Their seed dictum for instance, is that God is one and is the gift of a God-man. It is an axiomatic truth, self-evident, and hardly needs any comment. In Anurag Sagar, Kabir Sahib tells us that he came into the world in all the four yugas or cycles of time. Bhagat Bani was in existence long before Gurbani. From Guru Granth Sahib and the verses of Bahai Gurdas, we learn that from age to age, people benefited from Shabd or Bani. Krishna and Balhadra both bowed before a guru. Namdev, the calico printer, and Kabir, the weaver, learned the esoteric science from a guru. Bani has been in existence in all the four cycles of time and carries the message of truth. Shabd is true and Bani is true. Godmen have from age to age explained this. In the biography of Guru Nanak by Bhai Bala, Guru Nanak is said to have stated that in this Kali Yuga, Iron Age, many a saint would come to lead people Godward. 70 Bhagats and 14 saints would come during this period. The saints would carry shiploads of people homeward. Those who would not believe it, those who would not believe would flounder, and those who are slaves of their lower selves would not be accepted. From the above, it is clear that both Guru and Gurbani have always existed side by side. It is the Guru who has ever been the means of helping the seekers after truth. O God, thy saints have at all times been in the world. O God, throughout the ages, the line of gurus has been in existence. The succession of Satgurus continues throughout, and they have ever preached the lesson of Nam. Chapter 11, Scriptures and Their Value. Guru is a highly spiritual being with a sway extending as far as Sach Khand. He has a first-hand knowledge of And, Brahmand, and Sach Khand, the three grand divisions from physical to purely spiritual realms. Free from the clutches of mind and body, he is charged with pure spirituality. Unless a jiva comes into contact with such a being, his latent spiritual aspirations are not stirred up. The guru is really a lighted candle that lights many blown-out candles. He can, by transmitting his own life impulse, enliven others. Some persons feel that by the study of scriptures alone, they can have spiritual light and need no master for this purpose. We may pause here and consider the value and worth of the sacred books or holy scriptures. These are, after all, nothing but the records of the personal spiritual experiments and experiences of ancient sages, seers, prophets, and men of piety. It is good to read them with loving devotion. We should have respect for them, for they constitute a great treasure house of spirituality which our forefathers have left for our benefit. The sacred books and biographies of the high-souled personages create a spiritual longing and inspire us with hope and courage. We may, to a certain extent, become acquainted with the broad principles of spirituality, but cannot learn their right import nor get the life impulse, both of which come from a living master alone. Books are, after all, material things, and matter cannot impart life. Life comes from life as light comes from light. It is only an awakened soul that can rouse us from our deep slumber. We may read scriptures for ages upon ages and perform countless sacrificial deeds, but cannot have spiritual awakening and spiritual insight. Spirituality can neither be bought nor taught, but may be caught like an infectious disease from one who may himself be spiritually infected, nay, rather obsessed. The teachings of the saints have not only to be learned, but have also to be revealed. Besides knowledge of the theory of the path, it has to be seen, experienced, and verified. It is at once a science and an art, into the mysteries of which only an adept can safely lead, guide, and take us through. God can best be served through devotion to a God-man, for it is by His grace that we can reach God. Again, even the scriptures and the past masters emphatically exhort us to find a living master. Drink the washings of the sod's feet. Make a holocaust of thyself for his sake. Wash in the dust of his feet and be a sacrifice to him. Be ye a slave to the saints, and this is all that ye need to know. Bhai Gurdas also tells us, in the Guru lie hidden all the Vedas and the sacred scriptures. A contact with him is enough to help one to safely cross over the ocean of life. We cannot know truth without the master of truth. God himself has to come down for this very purpose. There are persons who studiously and scrupulously study the scriptures all their lives. They know a great deal by rote and can deliver learned discourses and give high-flown talks on spiritual matters, but unfortunately are altogether devoid of spiritual knowledge and spiritual experience. Their life and conduct is as blank as that of any other. They have not learned at the root nor drunk the water of life at the fountainhead of life, the living master. In Sri Asa Ki War we have, one may stuff his head with so much learning and accumulate a heavy load of knowledge. He may raise and gather a regular harvest of learning. All his life he may go on studying from year to year, month to month, from moment to moment. O Nanak, one thing you may know for certain, he will become a bloated ass. O Nanak, one may study sacred lore by weight and be engaged ceaselessly in this task. What, after all, is the value of learning when Nam lies far beyond all holy books? Well, I have come to the end of my time. I was reading from Godman, starting in chapter 7 and proceeding into part of chapter 11. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Rick, for reading Master's gracious, valuable words. There were 55 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Divine Master, for bringing us together to receive your guidance and blessings.
So every saint has his past and every saint has his future. There is hope for everybody. Guru Amar Das, when he came up to that state, he said, I was like you someday. So there is hope for everybody. Those who have got man body, that is why man body is spoken of very highly.